Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
That wasn't me or Georgia farting. That was
Gigi snoring, and that kind of brings us nicely into what this episode is all about. It's about the mum juggle, and that is it right there. You can hear lots of snoring and popping during these episodes.
Yeah, because Georgia's obviously got her new bubba, and Gigi's with us for most of the podcast now, which I absolutely love. Georgia's smashing. You're smashing it, mate.
The mum juggle.
Oh my God, the mum juggle, the eternal juggle. How are you finding it?
Okay, I mean, normally I'm quite spoiled in that my mum is around, but she decided to go on holiday.
What a selfish cow she is.
What? She's having fun. Yeah, so this week is a struggle. My husband dropped Axel to preschool this morning.
Oh wow, well done, James.
I know, I think, is it his first drop off? Maybe a second. And he's getting picked up early today because my in-laws can only get him at a certain time, so he's going to be picked up by them.
Yeah.
And then James is then going to go and get him. I'm going to nip home, and then James is going out to work. So there we go. That's a juggle of a day.
Head blown. I know, exactly the same boat as you. I've got a scenario where I basically needed the kids to be looked after for half an hour between 6 and 6:30 because Dozer has to leave for training at 6 o'clock. So I basically just rung my neighbour. I was like, hey neighbour, if I get them in their pyjamas and they've had their bath, can you just come and sit with them for half an hour? And you're like, it just fries your brain, the intricacies of getting everything right. And if you drop a ball, it's like everything comes crashing down.
Exactly. And sometimes, as you say, it's only half an hour, but you need someone and you think, no, can't you just look after yourself for half an hour?
Exactly. I'm really excited to talk to this lady today because I feel like all of us, regardless of whether you're, you know, a working mum or, you know, even more of a working mum by staying at home with your kids all day and looking after them, because that is more of a job, I'm going to be honest, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
I mean, those days at home when you're just at home with your kids?
I mean, I say this a lot. Being at home is so much harder than being at work for me.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, me and you, like, we skip into the studio, you know, oh, yeah, cup of tea, yeah, I'll drink that, lovely,
oh, I
coffee.
Do a wee by myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, mummy, what are you doing? Just having a wee.
Oh, don't.
Stop banging the door down. I don't like to pee under pressure.
Yeah.
But obviously, we love being with our children.
Yeah, no, we do. Oh,
of
my goodness.
Of course we do.
Yeah, we absolutely do.
We also love going away from them.
Yeah.
The lady that we're talking to today is possibly one of the biggest mum jugglers out there.
She's juggling lots of balls.
She's juggling loads of balls. She's got a very, very, very high pressure job, high powered job, and she manages to be an unbelievable mum at the same time. So I feel like we should get into it. Today's chat is with Rosie Nixon. So we got sunshine outside the studio today, and we've also got sunshine inside the studio because sitting opposite us is a great friend of mine. I've known her professionally for a very long time and personally as well. She is super mum to Rex and Heath. She's also the editor-in-chief at Hello Magazine. She's also two times published author. It's Rosie Nixon.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome.
Nice to be here. Thanks.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I've got goosebumps.
Yeah.
I don't know what. I don't know because I'm like, it's a nice, it's lovely to have you here.
Making it happen. So I'm so glad that we could.
Yeah.
Love your podcast.
Thank you. Well, we love you. We are completely in awe of everything that you do. And I guess I kind of want to kick things off with talking about this eternal juggle, because that is the topic of the podcast today, the mum juggle and the mum guilt, because you do everything, right?
Well, but I think when you list to any mum kind of everything they do, then it's enough to make you have a heart attack on the spot, because you don't kind of see your life as like one list of all the things you've got to get done in the day. And it's a huge amount, as you know, a working mum or a non-working mum will kind of agree. But I think for me, we were talking a bit earlier about sort of how to make the juggle work. And for me, it was when I kind of came to the realization that it's not going to be perfect, and sort of dropped the concept of perfection.
Gigi's in the room, by the way, again.
Yeah, so lovely to have a baby in the room. She makes me want to cry. I said earlier, when I look at a new baby, it gets me. But I think, yeah, when I realised that actually you can't do everything, it's not going to be perfect. You're not going to leave the house looking like you've just had a blow dry every day, like I might have once strived to do pre-kids. Then everything's kind of slots into place, because you're not measuring yourself by an unrealistic standard anymore.
We talk about this a lot, don't we, G?
Yeah, we do. I mean, something's always got to give, hasn't it? Basically. And you're never going to get to everywhere, and you're never going to look the way you did before, and you're never going to... It's never just not going to be the same, is it?
No, and that's all right, you know. So once you accept that, then it's so much easier to kind of fit everything in. And for me, it's a question of prioritising. And my kids will always be top of that list. And I've just cancelled going out this evening, actually. I was meant to go to a launch event, and then I've got to be abroad later this week. My husband's abroad now at the beginning of the week. And I just thought, actually, I just don't want to miss a bedtime tonight. Mm. So everything else can wait. And all your good friends understand that.
Yeah.
You know? So it is prioritising as well.
How do you schedule everything in? So you're running one of the biggest magazines in the country, and you're also writing novels at the same time. So how does the diary look?
The novel writing, yeah, has kind of taken a second sort of backseat. That's probably like, yeah, if we're talking about a big car here, really, with Hello, motherhood sitting in the front seat, probably Hello in the next seat, and then the novel writing's kind of behind and with everything else. And I try to fit that in when I can. But certainly for me, writing books is my creative outlet. I really love it. You know, I love having an excuse to squirrel myself away in a nice hotel for a couple of nights on my own to write.
My husband would say
it's an excuse. Yeah, why do I need to be in a kind of really nice spa hotel to write? But it does help the creative juices flow. Yeah.
And is that your version of like me time?
Well, actually, I mean, I started writing my first book before I had kids, so obviously there was a lot more time then. But I finished it. Well, both books actually, I finished on my maternity leaves. And if I'm really honest, I found it really hard being at home, especially the second maternity leave with two very young children. There were 6 months between my boys, and it was an intense time. And I actually really liked having the, you know, excuse in a way for my mum to come around, look after the baby the odd afternoons, and I'd go to the cafe and finish writing the book because I had a project that I was working on.
Yeah,
and it kind of kept me sane. And then I couldn't wait to get back home and be with them again. But I just needed a break. And actually writing is so, you're so focused sort of on your story and your characters and everything, you totally go into another world. And I really liked that. And I think I needed it actually as a mum.
It's interesting that you're talking about your maternity leave because, you know, you've obviously had this humongous career. And then when you had your kids, that didn't go away. So what was it like suddenly flipping on its head and, you know, being at home? And it's quite isolating that time, isn't it?
It was kind of hard because I think in my career, I felt quite defined by, you know, being you know, editor of Hello, and that's quite a big sort of role to have. And often people are like, oh yeah, you're the editor of Hello, and you're like, well, no, I'm actually Rosie, you know, I'm a mum and all these other things too.
Yeah, the title.
And I did, yeah, yeah, and I did actually struggle with not being defined by my job a bit when I was off, and so sort of the writing helped me with that. But ultimately, it was really important for me to do. You know, I'm a home-loving person. I'm a, you know, I couldn't wait to start a family. And so I really needed that time to focus on that, you know. And but I've always sort of been in touch. I think when you work in the media, and you probably find it as well, Zoe, like, it's kind of your life. Like, all of my friends seem to work in the media. Or, and when I'm going out to an event, it's sort of like going out for a night with the girls as well, because my best friends are also there, kind of in their capacity of their role. So that's really nice. Mm. So it didn't feel that I sort of lost touch with everything when I was on maternity leave. I still had, you know, a finger in what was going on.
And first time round, how long did you take off?
I took off 8 months the first time round. And I actually came back a bit earlier at 6 months the second time around, or maybe even slightly earlier, actually. But that was because there were a number of changes going on at work.
And was there ever a question if you were going to go back or not?
No, to be honest.
Don't feel bad about that.
No,
don't
feel
bad about it.
Wasn't. I was always going to go back. And if I'm honest, I remember, as I said, I did find it difficult the second time around with two kids so close in age. And there were certain days, you know, when I'd be texting my husband being like, when are you coming home? and that would get, that text would get earlier and earlier in the day.
Oh my God, we can so relate to that, can't we?
I'm in that right now.
Yeah, get back here
and
now.
I loved it. I love time with my boys. You know, nothing is more important to me. But I love working as well. And I try to work from home on Monday so that I can do the pickups, you know, from nursery and school, definitely be around on that day. But I have to say, I skip off to work on a Tuesday morning. Like, I'm back at work,
yeah,
too.
It's the work holiday.
It's the balance. The balance is what I need, really, to thrive. And I think it makes me a better mum, having that. But then it does feel off kilter at times. And I've struggled with that, too. You know, and then you have to claw things back and think, actually, no, work is taking on, I'm taking on too much. I learnt the power of saying no. That was like a big thing, you know, only a couple of years ago when I felt as though everything was getting on top of me.
Sorry.
That's all right. It's real, isn't it? That when things were getting on top of me, I learned, you know, actually, no, I don't need to go to that event tonight. It's not essential. Someone else can go to that. I need to be home for my children.
The mum guilt, you know, a subject that, again, is discussed a lot. And I think it's very hard. You know, whether you have a career or you don't have a career, it's when you're prioritising, or not prioritising, but when you're choosing to do something else and not be with your children, you feel it.
Yeah, you do. But I try to not feel it. I mean, I try to think, do you know what? It's, you know, again, about losing this idea of perfection. It's not always going to be perfect. My kids know how loved they are and are secure, and, you know, and that is, a you know, taken for granted. So... I think, sometimes things do feel off balance, but you've got to try not to sweat it. Sweat the big stuff, you know, and there is going to be guilt and things are going to be off balance at some times. But that's life, you know. Every mother is struggling with that.
Zoe and I say a lot that actually going to work and having time to do something that we enjoy actually makes us better when we're at home.
Yeah.
Because I notice if I've been at home for like 3 days and not done anything for myself, I'm awful.
I know.
I'm
and that's
terrible.
When I get ratty as well. Yeah. When you're kind of all getting a bit on top of each other and you actually all need a bit of space, I think.
Absolutely. I think it... like you said, it's to do with the balance, isn't it? It's about being there, and obviously our kids are our priority, but at the same time, it's absolutely okay to love something else and to step outside the door and be on your own again.
I'm really loving now that Heath is sort of understanding what I do, and he talks about, we go out and he'll say, there's your magazine, mummy, and like, oh, mummy, you make a magazine. And when we went on holiday, we made a little magazine together of some of the pictures of when we were away, and he took it into school. It was really sweet. I was like, maybe you're going to be a magazine editor.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, and I think that's really nice that they know that I love my career. They never will hear me complain about work because I really love it, and they get that. They love coming into the office. Over half term, I always try to bring them in on one day so that they can picture me now, because they'll remember now, and they like sitting in my swivel chair more than anything and, you know, pressing buttons on the computer. But it's really important that they see that environment, I think, so that they can imagine me there when I say I'm going off to work.
You can't go off to work, and in my opinion, and not really kind of love it and explain that to your children. Mm. Because if you're saying, oh, I'm leaving you, but I hate my job, and you know, I know, look, some people, different circumstances, they have to work, and I completely understand that. But I think if you love your job and you explain to your kids that, yes, we need to work because financially we all need the money.
That's it.
You know, but also if you enjoy your work at the same time, then that's great, because that teaches them that you can leave them and be happy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and so it's worthwhile. Yeah. You know, it's worth you being apart from them because you're doing something that's really exciting and challenging and all the things that you hope to install in them when they go off and find careers eventually.
Exactly. Have you ever experienced any negativity around your sort of humongous career and the fact that you're a mum at the same time?
Generally, I kind of don't surround myself in that sort of world. I mean, yeah, occasionally people say, God, how do you just do it all? You know, kind of, and I think, well, I don't do it all, you know, and I'm learning every day, and sometimes things go really wrong. It's kind of, you know, as I said, yeah, it looks a lot on paper, but I really, you just focus on the day in hand, and something has to give sometimes, like this evening, you know, something has to give because I just want to get back to them.
And something that every working mum faces, childcare.
Yes,
what does it look like for you?
Yeah, it is difficult. Well, actually, this year, it's the first year we've actually gone for somebody to live in. We discovered this newly qualified Norland thing that you can do. So it's a Norland nanny.
Oh, yes.
Their final year of studying. They have to do a home placement. So it's really lovely, actually, because we're supporting somebody on their journey to become a nanny, you know, a super nanny.
Yeah.
So we've got, she's quite a young girl. Moved in with us because we've both got a year ahead with quite a lot of travel in it, so we felt we needed that kind of backup, and that has been fantastic. But in the past, we've kind of piecemealed. My mum used to come and do some time for us, but my parents getting older now, you know, it's a lot for them to travel across London. Mm-hmm. We've had nurseries, we've had day nannies, we've had nanny share, we've tried a variety of things.
Isn't it just the most stressful thing?
God,
trying to
really
piece together childcare.
And then when it all goes wrong and it sends you into a spin, I mean, it's really stressful. And I think that's the time when it really gets you like, oh my God, I can't do it all. Because now I've got to cancel kind of this stuff in the day. It's all right when it goes like clockwork or something goes off at somebody's ill or, you know, it's kind of a fine sort of balancing act that's easily kind of tipped over. But then again, you know, again, well, that's life. You know, that's what having children is. It's not going to work like clockwork all the time. So that's okay. You know, don't be hard on yourself when things go wrong.
Let's talk about Hello and what, because obviously, you know, you're the front of it and the face of it and stuff. Flexible working within the company.
Well, obviously, there's a lot of women that work at Hello. So we try to be as flexible as we can, looking at individual roles and how, you know, that can best serve the business. But now, you know, with our handsets and the fact that there's this always on world, which actually I don't think is great in lots of ways. You know, I really try not to be emailing people late at night, and it's just not fair to kind of load people with your stresses. So I often, you know, save a number of emails in my inbox and then they'll go during office hours the next day.
That's nice. That's a nice that boss, isn't it?
We try to look at, but then we are a news, you know, so we are, things do happen at any time of day. But I hope that people feel that it's a supportive environment. And certainly I try to talk to the staff as a mum myself. You know, I know sometimes things just fall apart and you just need to go, you know, you need to be there for your kids if childcare's, you know, fallen down on a particular day. But so we try to look on a case by case basis at individual roles and that person's needs.
That's amazing. I wish that my accountant was like you, because he fires off emails at like 1 o'clock in the morning going,
really?
Can you pay $6,000? And I'm like, no, I'm going to be sick. Stop
it's
emailing
really
me.
It's somebody else's stress, especially if it's the last thing you look at before you go to bed.
God's having and a really nice dream.
And then it disturbs your whole night's sleep because that's in your head.
Yeah, Mark, if you're listening to this podcast, can you stop that, please?
You have got to have a cut-off.
I know, you have. Yeah, so, I mean, it's intense. It's, we're reacting to news 24/7 and never more so. I mean, I've been at Hello for over 11 years now, and certainly when I started, it was a very different role. Now, obviously, we're multi-platform, you know, digital is a big part of our business. We're reacting to news minute by minute.
Yep.
So it is hard to switch off, and I do have that argument with my husband on holiday of like, just put the phone down and kind of, all right, but don't keep telling me. And, you know, I try to be good when we're away.
Do
and
you?
I try to be good when I get home from work and put it in the kitchen drawer and wait till the kids are asleep. because emails can wait, you know, for a couple of hours.
I want to talk to you about, we talked about flexible working, but do you experience a lot of mothers coming back to work that are, I don't know, feeling insecure? Are there any kind of issues that you see?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it takes a while when you come back to work to find your groove in a new routine. And sometimes just having that flexibility of starting work half an hour early and finishing half an hour early, it makes a massive difference to your day, because it means you can get an earlier train or whatever and get back to a childminder. So sometimes it's often those kind of small things to an employer. You know, I love it when somebody comes to me with, you know, a tweak that we can make, or you know, or even if they're feeling stressed, and then we unpick it together and think, well, actually, we could make this small change. That actually makes a huge difference, because then you're back for bath time and, you know, at that stage of your kids' routine, and then it all changes again as they get slightly older. So I think flexibility is probably the key, and being approachable.
Because it is... Little JJ. Oh, Bubba.
She's getting tired, I think.
Oh, bless her. Mm. I think that's the big fear about having a child or having children and then wanting to return to your old life, to your old job.
And it's not going to be the same.
And it's not going to be the same. And you don't want to miss bath time. Like, it makes me feel wretched if I miss bath time or bedtime. I cry the whole way back on the train. Yeah. I hate it.
Well, you don't quite know how it's going to be, I think. And I think there's a sort of kind of buzz when you initially go back of just going to get a coffee on your own at the coffee shop. And I really remember that, and getting a new outfit and being able to pop to a shop at lunchtime. But then that kind of wears off and you start to feel a little, can feel a little bit lost.
I always feel daunting. Just that's how I feel, is torn. Mm. Like, really, some days I want to be at home and some days I want to be at work.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so to have complete flexibility would be ideal. But unfortunately, for lots of us, you know, with full-time jobs, or that's not always possible. But I guess it's creating those small changes that can make actually a big difference to family life.
And what would your advice be to anyone who's got that fear, I guess, about going back to work?
Well, I think don't worry about it when you're on maternity leave, because also, you know, you often, when you first start maternity leave, it's really in your head and you want to have a plan in place, it's going to be like this, but you change a lot during that time, and actually what you imagine you're going to feel towards the end of your maternity leave might be completely different to the way you feel when you get there. So I would say, don't try to set in stone too many plans. Really enjoy that time of being at home and being with your child, and put all your energy into that, and then start thinking, you know, as you get closer to those weeks, you know, just before you go back, when you do need to perhaps start that conversation with your employer. And just be really open and honest about the fact that it might change once you do actually go back. But it's difficult. I mean, a lot of people are at the whim of their kind of manager and them being an understanding person. But I think if you know your rights and, you know, and are just communicative, then that's the best you can do. And honest, that's all any of us can be, really. And situations do change. Best laid plans and all that.
I remember vividly after having Luna, and I remember getting the phone call from Heart and them saying, would you come back and do a New Year's Eve special with Mark? And I said, Luna at this point must have been, well, she was 3 months old. Mm-hmm. So in my head, I wasn't anywhere near ready to go back to doing anything like that. But I thought, the phone call's come in from the boss. I've got to go, because I've always said yes during my career. Yeah. And I remember driving down from Cheltenham to London, and I remember crying the entire journey because I hadn't left her ever.
Yeah. Oh, God,
it makes me feel
horrible.
Emotional thinking about it, actually. When I got there, I was pumping in the studio, and I remember thinking, what the hell am I doing here? This is way too soon for me. But also, doing what we do, it's very hard not to say yes, isn't it, all the time. Did the show, got in the car, cried the entire journey back, got back to Luna. And when I got back through the door, I called up my boss and said, I'm really sorry, but this is way too soon for me.
I'm
going to see you in 3 months' time. Yeah. And he was incredible. He was like, oh my God, of course. I thought you wanted to, because you said yes. And it's like, I think it's about being completely honest and not doing it if you're not ready, or if you're not happy with something that's going on at work. Talk to your employers about it. I'm so glad that I said to him, see you
it's
in 3 months.
Much.
Bye.
No, and you listen to yourself and what your body was saying as well. And I think, again, that the power of saying no, you know, and not always being a yes person is really powerful. And I think sort of any boss or, you know, colleague will respect you for that. Certainly there's a lot of power in taking control into your hands and thinking, actually, I could do that, but, you know, I'm going to be unhappy, or I'll be so anxious that I'm not even going to do a good job anyway. It's just not worth it. Life's too short. Mm-hmm. Just be strong and be brave and say no.
Yeah, not even just in work life. I've found becoming a mum, I've been so much better at saying no, like socially as well.
Yeah.
Because you get so little time to do things. You want to do the things that you really want to do.
Even with having a very young baby, I remember, in the early days of my NCT group, there was just so many things being organised, and other friends that had had babies, that I'd be like, oh my God, I'd almost feel a bit stressed about that.
Yes.
I've got like this coffee with this person and that person, and then a wander around the shops. I mean, it was all kind of local. But sometimes you think, oh God, I'm just so tired. I just want to be in my pyjamas all day today and not leave the house.
Yeah.
And that is fine, you know. So actually saying no, you know, in that situation is all right too, because sometimes you just need to give in to it.
Yeah, you
and
do.
Just saying, oh God, I just don't want to brush my hair today. And it's too much.
Or
to
shower.
Get dressed.
No.
You know, I just want to text my husband saying, when are you coming home?
Georgia, do you ever do that?
Me?
Because you always look so polished. Every time I see you, you look really, really put together.
You look amazing.
I say this a lot. I have so much help and so much support. Mm. But this week, my mum's actually on holiday. So
she's allowed to go on holiday.
I mean, yeah, she didn't give me a holiday form or anything. So we're only into Tuesday. So maybe by the end of the week, I might have fallen apart.
So hold on. It's just you and the kids at home with James this week?
Yes. Yes.
Whoa.
I know, exactly. But James, my husband, he's home from work quite early.
Okay,
so again,
that's good.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I do. I have lots of days where I'm just at home.
I think you need those days. I mean, those are like the good old maternity days that are so important and restorative. And you just need them. And just have a big old cry one day if that's what you feel like doing, and that is fine. You'll feel better for it the next day.
Do you have any advice for anyone listening who wants to start a career and is on maternity leave at the moment? Obviously, you know, enjoying being with the baby, but also thinking that actually I feel like I want to do something, because it's quite daunting if you haven't had a career before, or you've been out the loop for a long time, or you want a changing career.
And it can be quite a creative time as well, I think, once you've got through the kind of madness of just having this new baby. And certainly for me with my book writing, you know, I really my brain just wanted to do that. And I felt quite creative, and I came up with loads of ideas every time I've been on maternity leave, which I channeled then into my, you know, writing plots for my books.
What were you thinking about whilst you were feeding baby?
Actually, that's where the idea of my third book came, which is set in a baby group, but we'll come on to that in a bit. So I think, make note of all of those ideas. And, you know, they don't talk about sort of companies being generated from a kitchen table for no reason, because often, you know, you have an idea about something that is really, that mums really need, or, you know, is maybe related to what you're doing, or related to your work or something else. So it can be a good time to take stock. And if you've been in a job for a long time and it's just you weren't happy before you went off, then it can be a really good sort of point to make that change, because it's kind of easier. You're already out of that sort of working game to think about what you want to do. So it's a really exciting time from a career perspective as well.
I think it can be. We always talk about buddying up with somebody as well, meeting somebody at a play group, a baby group.
I mean, you two.
This
podcast wouldn't be here if you hadn't had your babies and had some time off and some headspace to think.
So
exactly.
True.
And it's weird, you get talking to people in a different way. Like, I would never normally just talk to somebody on the table next to me and then exchange numbers and then, like, start talking to
them. Was it because I was really pushy?
And also because you're not being defined by your job when you're off. I'd be sitting with my fellow mum friends, and no one's saying, so what's on the news agenda this week, or what's going to be in the magazine, or what feature are you working? It just doesn't obviously come up in conversations.
Exactly.
You're talking about other things, and you're sort of you're projecting the real you in lots of ways. That's without hiding behind a career.
So true, isn't it?
Yeah,
because you're just living in this really, it's a big bubble, but it's a very small bubble at the same time, isn't it? Your world goes massive and then tiny.
Totally, yeah, it does. I mean, there's nothing like it. It's such a unique time and such a sort of blessing, you know, to be able to experience that.
So tell us about the new book.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of I should have finished it by now. I've just asked for another slight extension because there is less time these days for writing. But when I had my first child and I was part of an NCT group, I just found it such a kind of fascinating environment that you're all these women, you know, well, and the guys too, sort of thrown together. And the only thing you've got in common is that your due date is roughly the same. You're all having first baby and you live in the same kind of area, but you don't really know anything about each other. And you go through such a big life-changing experience together and you become fast friends, you know. Mm. You're talking about your bodily functions within having, you know, met each other for an hour. And you're straight
you're,
in
you're
there,
mentioning the vagina very quickly.
Vagina, yeah, vagina. Actually there is a bit in the book where they have to shout out vagina because they have a slightly crazy leader of the baby group. And I just thought, gosh, what, this is such a good premise of a book. Could you imagine if there was a big secret between two of the women that they don't realise when they first meet each other, and slowly it becomes unravelled, and it's about secrets and lies and this big night 9 months ago that kind of changes the course of kind of both of their lives. But they don't realise it yet. So it's kind of told in a couple of flashbacks, and it goes back to first love as well. There's a flashback 20 years ago and they're linked back then.
So, I want to read it.
I know, it sounds great.
It's kind of, but also it was so nice. It was almost like a way of scrapbooking all of those things that happened to you as a new mum and all of the baby crazy things that happen, like meeting up in coffee shops and then a poomageddon happens, you know, where some baby gets completely soiled and then you're like on your kind of like fifth change of clothes of the day. Colic, took me back to the colic era.
Oh, the colic
going
days.
Around boots, yeah. Buying every single product that
all the
said
colic
it could
drops.
Help colic. All the drops.
Oh my god,
all
yes.
The bright water. Yeah. And actually I really enjoy, I found it kind of cathartic to put down sort of everything that happened. And yeah, I've told kind of one of the girls that was in my NCT group because I didn't want them to be too scared that they have been turned into a work of fiction. Obviously, it's all fiction. The characters are all made up.
But oh my God, do they believe that? Or does someone ring you going, look, remember that secret I told you?
No.
Turned it into a book.
It's all made up. But the Poomageddon and the kind of attempting to sort of run with our buggies on Clapham Common and things like that are sort of funny memories that are in there. But yeah, I remember at the time thinking, God, I literally know every crack in the pavement of Clapham where I lived when I had my first baby. And I know the common like the back of my hand because I walk it, you know, five times a day.
Yeah, you do though, don't you?
Yeah,
in those early
you do.
Days.
It becomes, yeah, this small world. So yeah, so I'm quite excited about the book. It's less of a light-hearted, I mean, it's slightly more of a thriller really, but it's a lot about relationships and secrets and lies and whether you should always come clean or whether a lie will catch up with you in the end anyway.
Ooh. Well, we know what I think. A lie will always catch up with you in
yes,
the end.
Yes, I know. Yes, and maybe it does. But yeah, there's still lots of comedy in it because I can't help writing in that way. So
I can't wait. When's it out?
That's going to be out next year. I think they're looking at June.
Okay, exciting. Yeah. Really exciting. Yeah. And I need to ask you this. Mm. You recently just had a little morning on a rooftop with Meghan Markle.
Oh, yes.
Well, we can't call her that now. What do we
I
call
know,
her?
I know, the Duchess of Sussex.
Of course we
yeah,
do.
Yeah, that was really exciting. On her first day back from maternity leave. Yeah.
Oh, her first day back?
Yes.
It was. Yeah. Yeah, so she was launching the Smart Set. So a really great initiative with Smartworks Charity, of whom she is a patron, who provides sort of clothing for women to get back into the workforce. So they help support women through kind of finding employment again and feeling confident in that job interview scenario. So, yeah, Meghan had undertaken some private visits to the charity, been impressed with what they've done, and she brought together some big British brands, Marks & Spencer's, John Lewis, Jigsaw, and her friend Misha Nunu's range, to come up with a capsule collection, really affordable price point, sold in all of those shops, that would help women get back into work. And for every one outfit that is bought, another one is donated to the Smartworks charity. So it's given them for free to the women that they're supporting.
That is brilliant.
Which is so nice. So, you know, I love that one-to-one model so we can do something that will directly affect another woman's chances of success.
Brilliant.
But she was glowing. She spoke so passionately. She had no notes at all. Stood up at the podium. Well, she is a trained actress, I guess.
Yeah.
And just spoke from the heart about her involvement in this and, yeah, wanting to involve British brands because Britain's obviously now her home.
Can we get her on the podcast, do you think? Or?
Well, I don't know. We can try. I can't.
Surely you swap numbers.
She'd be here now.
With her leaky boobs.
Yeah.
Well, she did have to race back, yeah, to feed Archie, apparently. Yes. So, yeah. So just like all of us. I remember, actually, you reminded me, talking of leaky boobs and going back to her. I remember going to Royal Ascot when Heath was, for my first sort of day out, kind of worky. Hello had a box there and he was 3 months old. And I went with Tamara Eccleston, who became my great baby mate, because we both had our first babies on the same day. So Heath was born on the same day as Sophia. So we were in constant text contact.
We've both had her on.
Yeah.
Have you? Yeah, she's come on. Yes, I remember. Yeah, and she offered me a lift in the chopper to get down there, as you do.
Casual.
Which I was very glad about, because obviously we had a limited window and both of us got into the helicopter with our breast pumps in our large bags. And we're kind of slowly expanding and kind of exploding by the end of the day.
That's hilarious.
And I remember thinking, oh God, I don't know if I really want to go and everything. And then she was like, well, we could just do this together, yeah. You know, and we'll take our breast pumps and we'll find a room and we can go feed in together.
I was going to say, where's the weirdest place you've ever pumped? In the chopper?
Yeah, it wasn't actually in the chopper, it was in the loos at Royal Ascot.
That is pretty impressive.
Not the most glamorous moment. But it's great, isn't it? That camaraderie of other women, whoever you are. You're the Duchess of Sussex, you know, or you're sort of one of us,
exactly.
A normal person. Yeah, you, we all do the same.
And you only ever need one soulmate to get you through the first year of having a baby. And Georgia was mine because it's just, like you said, you know, even the Duchess of Sussex needs a mate to text and go, do you know what? My stitches haven't healed and I'm feeling like shit and I haven't done a poo for a week.
That was exactly it with Tamara and I, because we both had C-sections. Mine was a horrendous emergency one. Hers was rather more planned. And it was really nice to have somebody say, are you still doing those injection things that women be? And I really hate it when I do it. Yep. Is it all right to stop? And because you're there in real time together, aren't you?
Because it's so easy to forget all that
so
stuff,
isn't it?
So easy
to forget that. Day to day.
I feel like we could sit and chat to you forever, but we need to ask about your products.
We do. So what's your five favourite mum products?
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of, as you said, you do sort of forget. Like if you'd asked me with a real newborn, I'd have said Lancelin cream.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
because that was essential for feeding because I did find it quite painful.
You can put it on your lips as well, though. We love that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you sort of kind of, are only kind of in the stage you're at. So I would definitely say the Grow Clock.
Oh, yes.
Has been like, if we forget to take it on holiday with us, it's like, it is turn around the car, stop the plane, you know.
This
that
is going
to be a disaster. And for Heath as well.
Right.
Even though they don't always wait until the sun comes up, but they know that they should be in their room and kind of, or they'll come up and say, look, there's only one star. Is it all right if we get up? So that means it's like nearly there.
Yeah.
So the Grow Clock has just been essential. My boys have sort of, we've kind of had some success with sleep, but you know, they were early risers and would still be, I think, if we didn't have that Grow Clock.
Agreed.
So that is like an essential. The swim fin.
Swimming. Ooh, what's this?
Yeah, both of my boys are very good at swimming, and my sister passed on this tip to me. Instead of getting armbands and rubber bands and things like that, which are kind of not the most ideal swimming aids for kind of learning to swim independently, mm-hmm. there's something called the swim fin, which is like a shark fin that you put around your chest. And it looks like a fin, so it's quite fun when they're swimming around in the water. And they learn to swim, kind of keeping themselves buoyant in the right position.
Oh, brilliant.
That's
so both of them have had those. And again, they take up half a suitcase, but they have to come on holiday because they love being sharks in the pool. But now they can both swim independently.
Can they? Can
Nearly four, yeah.
Wow.
And five and a half, which I'm really proud of. And the shark fin's got a lot to do with that.
Right, I'm writing that down.
The swim fin is
where do you
a good
get
one.
That?
You can get it from Amazon. Yeah.
Amazon
Amazon, obviously everything.
Is everything.
And then I've recently discovered this thing called Rory's Story Cubes. Have you heard of these?
No.
Well, especially for my, because I suppose, my boys being that sort of preschool and kind of early school age, it's a tiny set of 9 cubes and they've got illustrations on them and you can put it in your handbag and it's a great thing to whip out when you just need kind of a little bit of peace in a coffee shop. And they've got drawings on them and you throw them out and they have to make up a story using the images on the cubes.
That's lovely.
So it's really simple. But it's just a very imaginative kind of plaything. They both can grasp it. So sort of from age sort of 3+ is probably okay.
That's brilliant. And,
yeah. So I've bought that for 3 people for presents kind of recently, since it's going to be my go-to thing.
Love that from Rosie.
That's 2 things we hadn't heard of.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, good. Okay. I mean, the classic Aiden and Anae muslins. I mean, just throughout. I mean, Rex still, his comforter is his giraffe muslin. I just think they make...
Same as Kiss.
Oh, really?
Exactly the same.
Oh, sweet. Or Stinky muslin. Stinky Muzzy, it's called now. Stinky it muslin. Had to be washed yesterday because it was so disgusting.
Does he suck it?
Yeah, sucks it and kind of... I mean, it's black or like grey, but I had to hand wash it yesterday and hold it in front of a hairdryer so that it could be dry, you know, immediately.
Why can't it go in the tumble?
Be apart from it.
Tumble dryer, no?
Because he didn't want to, he just needed it as quickly as possible and I couldn't bear the stench anymore. So, and then books. Like, we are such big readers in our house. Yep. And, you know, ever since they were tiny babies. So the Julia Donaldson books are very popular with us. I've just started reading Heath, The Lion, The Witch and the Wardrobe. I'm loving it now. He's old enough to read little books with not so many illustrations. Or have them read to him, rather. And reading some of the classics that I loved as a young child. Mm.
We're massive readers, both of us. We read to them every single night.
And one of the first books I had was this lovely board book that my sister gave to me called On the Night You Were Born. And I've bought that for a number of people. I bought it for Nat Pinkham, actually. She had her little... And that, I mean, God, it just... I was in bits reading it to the little baby because it's about how, you know, looking at the baby and nothing in the world will ever be the same now that you're in it. And it just, like, I mean, it still can send me
George is welling up.
When I think of it, yeah, but books, yeah, really big part of childhood, I think.
Yep. Lovely.
Fab.
Lovely.
Thank you. That has been great.
Georgia's written us up. Rosie, thank you so much
for
coming
so
in.
I loved it.
What a treat.
So nice to have the little one here too.
Oh, now she's asleep and quiet.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow, that's a juggle, isn't it?
I mean, we thought we had it bad. She runs Hello magazine and has written 2 novels and is writing a 3rd and is a mum of 2 and is hanging out with the Duchess of Sussex?
Yes.
Meghan Markle. She's still Meghan Markle to
she
me.
She is. Still Meghan Markle of suits.
It's kind of made me a bit sweaty under the on the tash just thinking about her life.
I know, don't. But you know what? I really admire her. About, you know, talking openly, that it's so much easier when someone's coming to stay with you.
Yeah.
And we've said this before, sometimes a nanny, you know, you think of nannies as for, you know, big A-listers and really high profile people, but actually having a nanny is sometimes cheaper than sending your kids to nursery.
Yeah, and also if you are thinking about that, forget about nannies, au pairs. We've had au pairs before.
Exactly.
And you know, I'm not ashamed to say this because this is what you know is kind of the norm to pay them. It's £160 a week.
Yeah.
And she lived with us Monday to Friday and she was just studying and she wanted it. She wanted the job. She loved kids. Her name was Asha. She was amazing. She was with us the whole summer. And yeah, I mean, 160 quid a week. She looked after the kids Monday to Friday.
Yeah, I mean, that you can't argue.
You can't argue
with
that.
And everybody needs a little bit of help, don't they?
They do.
Products.
Yeah, let's talk products.
So we can't really talk about a product around the mum juggle. Yeah. So what products are you using at the moment?
Yeah, I just think because Rosie kind of identified her five favourite products that she kind of swears by.
Yeah.
And so we thought we would do the same this week. So I have just started using, I've talked about this on our Instagram, but Kit's eczema has really started to flare up again on his back, which is really distressing. I think it's probably food related because we've got a bit sort of like, well... you know, is it
Lax?
Lax, yeah, that's it. I was going to say Hap Dash, but I don't think that's right. With what he's eating. And obviously he's still got like problems with eggs and dairy. And, you know, he's just sort of eating everything. He's growing so fast. He's having like three portions of everything. And I'm just... Anyway, the eczema's come back. So I have started using Organic Babies by Green People. And we're only sort of night two now. Things are looking better. Specially formulated for eczema. Yeah. And we're using all the bath products as well for him as well, because anything I put in the bath, I mean, Axel was the same,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was. I just had to change his washing powder.
Are you still using that Eco bath?
Yeah, I don't use anything else. I really won't use anything else.
That is incredible, isn't it?
I know. And I use, obviously, the e-cover washing stuff on Gigi, so I don't know if it would have flared up with her.
Yeah, I need to get back into that. I need to start using it, because it's really good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so good. I really swore by it, actually, and still do. So another product for me, so this wasn't around, it might have been around, but I didn't know about it first time with Axel, is the Doona. I know lots of people have it and they love it, but essentially...
What's a Doona?
It's a car seat which has wheels on the bottom, so you just get baby out the car and then you flip the wheels out so it turns from a car seat into a pram.
Didn't Georgia Jones have that?
She did. And that is where I decided that I was definitely going to get one.
Okay.
It's incredible. When I'm just with Gigi or, you know, with Axel as well, I'll just literally can get her in and out of the car so easily.
How expensive are they though?
About £200 and something, okay. But absolutely
brilliant.
So worth it.
Right.
Okay. Really, really, really recommend.
There you go. G loves it. Now this is a bit of an odd one because it's not for the kids, it's for me, but I'm using them so much at the moment. They're called Pop Bands. Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah, so they don't give your hair that dent, do they? When you've tied your hair up and you need to get it down, you don't get that weird dent in your hair.
Yeah, so they're just hair bands, but they ain't just like any old hair bands. Like Georgia said, they don't give you the dent in the hair, and they're really pretty, they're really soft. My hair, I sometimes go to sleep with my hair up in a bun, and like my hair's really like sort of frail around the front, like it's really weak around the front and it all breaks off. These seemingly are not letting my hair break.
That's so good.
And they've also got these things called starry eye masks, which heat up when you put them around your ears. So you can basically just lie in bed with an eye mask on, which then heats up.
Oh my gosh, that's so nice.
Yeah, they're mate. They're dreamy.
Oh, lovely.
I know.
Another product for me is, well, I use the Baby Zen Yo-Yo buggy board, but obviously there's lots of different buggy boards. I find it incredible. Axel is three, so not really in a buggy anymore, but sometimes if we're, you know, shopping or, you know, walking a bit further, he gets tired. So a buggy board on the back of the pram has been so good for us. He can just jump on the back and I can just push him. He also thinks he's driving the buggy, so, you know, that's another thing.
They're such a good idea.
They are brilliant.
Because Luna doesn't want to sit in a buggy now either. She likes standing up.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
They're worth an investment, actually.
They're that good.
The final product today is, I've just switched to these nappies, Rascal
and
Friends.
I need to try
Friends.
Them.
You got to try them, G. For anyone that doesn't know about this brand, we love them. Basically, premium nappies, by the way, no leakage, anything like that. And they've got no nasties in them. So no kind of perfumes, nothing to irritate baby's skin,
brilliant.
Anything like that. And yeah, they're just better for babies' bums, really.
Yeah, they are. And do you know what? They're always on offer at Tesco.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And I was literally just about to say that. Right, that is the end of the podcast for this week.
Thank you so much. If you liked it, please give us a 5-star rating. You can also review and rate and subscribe.
Yes. And yeah, just kind of spread the word, really. By subscribing to it, you'll know that you're going to get it every single week. And if you are going to leave us a little review, clicking on the stars, a 5-star one, you can also write a review for us as well, which we would really love if you've got time. I know you're really busy parents, but if you do get a second, that would be fantastic. You can also send us your messages at Made by Mamas on our Instagram or at Zoe Harbin, which is mine. And we're going to be back next week.
We are. Look forward to it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.